Along in Hilchos Tefillah, we concluded last week Simichas Gula Tefillah. Now we're talking about the actual procedure within Shemoneh Esrei. So one of the first topics Shulchan Aruch discusses is how one bows in Shemoneh Esrei. It's very interesting. There's a literature in its own right on the fact that, as the Mechaber mentions over here, there are specific prescribed limitations on bowing. We have programmed into the Amidah four times that we bow, and it's actually Asur Midrabanan to add additional places in the Shemoneh Esrei during which one, even partially prostrates himself. And there are two reasons that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. One, maybe even three, Kedesh Yavol Akar Takanas Chachamim. First thing he mentions is that we have to stick to the rules so that we don't come to uproot the Takana of the Chachamim. Could mean, on one level, what that is trying to tell us is that when it comes to the procedure for Tefillah, Tefillah is avod shebelev. Avod is the operative word. It's supposed to be a subservient act, and therefore it is supposed to be very regulated and not haphazard. If a person is just said, "Okay, go pray," then on the one hand they may not have the wherewithal and the capacity to formalize it in a way that will be effective. But also every time is different, and the meaning and the specific significance can be lost if there isn't a formality that is kept to. Obviously, there's room for individual expression, but there also has to be a baseline that follows the Takan of Chazal. In addition, Shalayomer Kol Echad Machmir Kamoshu Rotza, Gam Chayshin L'Yura. Specifically, when it comes to the bows that are programmed into Shemoneh Esrei, if a person feels that I should be doing more, I should be prostrating myself more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Also, it can get out of hand, and that would be interpreted by others perhaps as someone condescending. This guy is holier than everybody else. He has to bow 5 times, 10 times, 20 times instead of the same amount as everybody else. And Chazal wanted it to be very uniform. Could be that plays into the first reason as well. The uniformity is not only relevant for my own personal Shemoneh Esrei, right? But imagine if you have, again, the Tzivos Hashem, the troops of the Ribbono Shel Olam davening, right? Any other military formation, right? If everyone is moving out of step, if everyone's going at their own pace, if everyone is holding the rifle on one shoulder, and the guy is holding on the next shoulder, it breaks down the whole system. So it could be the entire minion also comes together in uniformity, and it also creates a certain ambiance, a certain form that the tefillah is supposed to take. Just a suggestion. But the Shulchan Aruch continues with a few other applications. Most familiar to us would be Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. He mentions that there was a minhag during Zachreinu L'chaim and Micha Mocha, the pesukim that we add to the first brachos of Shemoneh Esrei. People used to hunch over a little bit when they said those pesukim. Why? Why should we do so? So instinctively, we would imagine that during the Yom Noraim, there is a certain extra aspect of humility that should be achieved. In particular, there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which we spoke about on Rosh Hashanah, about the shape of the shofar. The shape of the shofar is supposed to be curved. Not by accident. The Gemara says the reason for that is because that being hunched over is the mode of tefillah of this time of year. The shofar is an aspect of tefillah. It's a tefillah without any words, but it's a tefillah that is enunciated through through the sounds that the Baal Tokeiah makes and the fact that we listen. And it reflects all of our prayers. So the shofar has to be bent over a little bit because that really depicts the overall attitude that we're supposed to internalize when we come Yom HaDin. So he cautions the person who leans over a little bit during Zachreinu and Michamoch. You don't see this so much practice anymore, but it is brought down that this used to be a common practice. That those people should make sure to straighten themselves up when they get to the concluding bracha, Magen Avram, or Mechayim Esim, at the end of those sections of Tefillah where these pesukim are added. Why? Well, each bracha has its own reason. When it comes to Magen Avram, I'm supposed to bow. So I need to straighten myself up, because if I am not straight when I begin to bow, it's not as apparent that I'm bowing, right? It's only a bow if you are erect, and then you go and bend your body. Sort of like what we find when it comes to standing up for a Talmud Chacham or for a Rebbe, for a parent, there is actually a value to, if you see them coming by, to sit down. Because if you're already standing, you miss the chance. You can't stand up, you can't show kavod by standing up for someone if you're already standing up, right? So something that's mentioned there as well. When it comes to Mechayim Esim, right? So right before Mechayim Esim, on the Yom Noraim, we have Micha Mocha, Avarachim, Zochir, Yitzurah, Mechayim Rachman. There also, you should straighten yourself up after that pasuk. Why? Because we want to make sure that it doesn't appear as if you are bowing during that final bracha, Mechayim Esim, which does not have a prescribed bow. And as we said earlier, you have to stick to the formula. Believe it or not, there's a lot that's discussed in regard to Aleinu. We don't bow the same way during Aleinu, generally speaking. I knew a guy, came back from Israel, I don't know where he picked it up from, but when he said, "Anachnu korum u'mishtachem," he literally went down, you know, like folded himself over 180 degrees, so to speak, and, you know, and came up like this. Took him a good 30 seconds to just to get through that pasuk of Aleinu. It's not appropriate. We're not supposed to you know, in general, it does say clearly in the Shulchan Aruch, a person during tefillah is not supposed to do things that make people look at him as if there's something wrong with him, he's doing something differently. We're not supposed to attract attention to ourselves. We're supposed to be normal. That's, you know, it's a mitzvah to be normal. The Salvech used to say it's a mitzvah not to be stupid. It's also a mitzvah to be normal. So you just have to have common sense. And in this context, also going too far beyond the prescribed hishtachavos is brought down as this problem. There were people who apparently would bow during benching, would bow during parts of Hallel, and the Shulchan Aruch says that that's inappropriate. Ein lichroa el b'makom shetikna chachamim. And when it comes to Aleinu, it's not inappropriate to just bow a little bit. The Mishnah Berurah says in the laws of Aleinu that otherwise it looks like you're speaking sheker. Anachnu korim u'mishtachavim u'modim, and you're not reflecting that in any way whatsoever. So you shouldn't necessarily do a full prostration as you would, at least in the form of Shemoneh Esrei. But during Aleinu, there should be some acknowledgement to what you're saying that reflects the Anachnu Korim, but not again in a full-fledged way. Next time, Blinether, we'll talk about the actual dynamics of how a person is supposed to bend. There's a formula to how it is accomplished. But as we mentioned in other contexts, when it's not possible, I think last time we spoke about this was a person in the hospital bed and they could not bow because there was a crucifix on the wall. So one is yotze, that which Chazal prescribed as far as the bow, if they can't do it all the way. Could be for health reasons. It's going to be very uncomfortable, very painful, or otherwise. But when one is able to do so, we'll talk next time about the specific procedure for the hishtachavos. Ben Akasha Omer, Tzakosh Baruch, Lazakas Israel, Lefilcha Hevron, Tarmitish, Nemron, Aichofetz, Laman, Sidko, Yagdil, Torovi, Adir.